Book of Isaiah, chapter 45. I like some readings in Isaiah, because I tell you what, he got it together. Isaiah 45 for our text today. Give you a minute to find it there. Talking about God this morning. Six ways he's the Father. Six ways he's the Father. Isaiah chapter 45, and look down at verse number 5. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I wouldn't mind you would mark that verse, folks. I am the Lord, and there's none else. There is no God besides me. Now look down in verse 22. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. That includes everybody, doesn't it? For I am God, and there is none else. There is only one God, true God, living God. Now, there's a lot of false gods with a little g. But there's only one true God. There has never been but one God. There won't ever be another God. He's always existed. He's always known everything he knows today. We can't handle such thinking as this. But he's God. And he made everything. And he made it for himself. Wind up making you and I in his image of all things. He didn't even make angels in his image. But he made humans in his image. So, there are six areas in which God is the Father I want to talk about today. And what a great Father he is. And first of all, we're looking at Isaiah 45 in verse 18, where he says, For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens. What does man say about that? Man says he evolved, don't he? Man says over millions and billions of years, everything come into existence. That's one of man's theories. That's not true at all. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. God made this earth. Do you know God made the earth before he made the universe? You go back and read Genesis carefully. God didn't even make the sun and the moon and the stars, the universe, till the third day. But he made the earth the first day, in the beginning. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. God made this world for people to live on. Man fears we can be overpopulated, but God says, no, that's not true. I created this earth to be filled with people. And if it's filled with people, God can make enough food to take care of everybody. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. So there is one God. He's eternal. He'll always exist. Now you and I are also eternal. That is, we're going to live forever now. But we didn't used to exist except in the mind of God. In Genesis 1, that first chapter, we're not going to read it today, but that entire chapter tells us about creation, how God created this universe, this world. And as we think of God's creation, think of His vision. Think of God's vision of the world and everything in it. Think about His imagination. What an imagination God's got. You sit on Walmart's parking lot and look at people. And people, they're walking. But everybody walks different. Everybody walks different. They don't even walk the same way. When you answer the telephone, their voices sound different. I'm sitting here looking at y'all and every one of you. Y'all look different. But you're people. Think about the imagination of God. And all the millions and billions of people, and no two are exactly alike. Now, it took a God to do that, folks. Wow, what an imagination. And His wisdom. Think about the wisdom of God. You look at the animals, dumb as dirt, but they know how to live. They know how to exist. We have coons, we have a raccoon to come up at the house now. We have foxes coming to the house. We have coyotes coming to the house. We have possums coming to the house. And Jehovah's Witnesses come to the house. Amen. But listen, all those creatures out there, the wisdom of God made them able to survive out there. I was going down the highway out here the other day. There was 3 deer over there eating the farmer's beans or cotton. 3 deer, and they were as fat, healthy. The wisdom of God to make creatures like that. They don't go to school. We're talking about an awesome God. We're going to go get to live with Him one day, folks. Yes, what a God. And what knowledge He has. Think about the knowledge of God. He knows everything. It's just and His power. His power is unlimited. I mean, He just speaks, and the earth comes into existence. He speaks, and the universe comes into existence. No effort. We can't contemplate such a God. And that's going to, He's our Father. And we're going to live with Him one day. So I'm trying to stretch your imagination a little bit. Yeah, God, what wisdom and knowledge and power. And embedded in all of this is His great love for His creation. God loves His creation. He loves His animals. He loves people. In fact, God is love. That's His nature. God is not wrath. Wrath is the opposite of God's holiness, which is one of His attributes. Wrath is not an attribute. Wrath is the opposite of God's holiness against sin. Yes, God loves His creation. He loves people. He loves animals. Folks, we all know how to mistreat animals. Birds. The birds are amazing creatures too. I saw a flock of geese this week go over the house, just a honking. And every once in a while, you see them change leads. You know, they don't have a cell phone to say, let me go first now. But without interruption, they just switch. God loves his oceans. I don't understand how all the waters going into the ocean and the ocean don't overfill. How does it get out? Well, God draws it out with the rain clouds, I guess. That's his wisdom and knowledge and power, folks. What a God that knows all this. And he never went to school. And he loves flowers. Boy, I tell you what, when we get to heaven, I don't believe the flowers is going to fade. Amen. You know there's going to be flowers in heaven. If God made flowers for this old world here, there's going to be flowers, beautiful flowers. And he loves the forest. He loves the forest. And he loves the land. God just loves everything he made, folks. And he put it here for you and I to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy it. And look how orderly he's made everything. The stars, we see them every night. The moon, the sun. You know, they have a perfect rotation. That ever since the third day when God made the sun and the moon and the stars, they've been on this rotation system, and they've not got off track a bit. Every 24 hours, they just do it again. Amen. You know what? That's the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. And they've been doing that for thousands of years now. God made the universe with billions of galaxies, and man cannot even fathom how far and deep space is out yonder. I was looking at Hubble last night, and that thing goes, I don't know how far out yonder it's gone, but it's still going, and they think it's going to keep going for 30 more years. Just that piece of equipment they sent out in space. And it still won't reach the other side. And it's been going for 20 years, I believe, now or so. And I mean, it's traveling at an incredible rate of speed. Boy, when God spoke, he made a big world, folks. Amen, what a girl. You know, and he just made it with, he spoke it. And think about this, when he made light, when he separated the darkness and the light, you know how fast light travels? 185,000 miles per second. In 1 second, light travels 185,000 miles. 1 second. Now that's moving on, ain't it? You know, when the rapture happens, I believe we'll go up faster than that, Johnny. What a God he is, for church. We've come here to worship a God that made all this for us and wants us to live with him. Hey, if he's letting us see this in this world, what's he got in the next world, Brother Chavis? What's he got in the other side? Boy, I tell you, because of who God is, he's the Father of all things. He made everything. He owns everything. He controls all things. There's no other God, and there'll never be another God. He's the eternal God. What a God. And the most of all, what makes it so good, he's a God of love. He loves us. He loves us. He's for us. Even when man makes something, When you make something, Brother Chavis, or anybody else in, when you make something, it's God doing it. Because he's using your talents and your abilities and the materials that he made so he can get it done. He's just using you. But he's doing it. Isn't that something? Boy, we're smart, ain't we? Amen. Amen. Yes, he planned and instigated the creation of the heaven and the earth. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, neither is no searching of his understanding. God don't ever get tired after he's done all this, folks. Wow. I tell you what, this past week, my wife liked to work me to death, folks. Great day. But God don't get tired. Oh, what an awesome God. God is also the Father of Israel. He's the Father of Israel. God wanted a people to be his people that he might use them to teach the other nations of the world about him. So he made a nation of people. So he chose a man by the name of Abram. And from Abram would come his son Isaac to produce the Jewish nation we know today of Israel, God's ancient chosen covenanted people. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, God said, even my firstborn, Exodus 4:22. So God claims Israel as his son. They're his chosen people because he's got a plan and purpose for that little old nation over yonder that everybody hates so much. But you know what's so ironic about all this? It's going to wind up, Israel's going to be the head of all the nations. Boy, that'll be rubbing it in, won't it? Well, God knows how to do it. God had a plan for his people who were enslaved down in Egypt. Even though they were a slave, God had a plan for them being there and how he'd get them out of there. God was giving the Pharaoh an opportunity to allow his people to leave without him being judged. But old Pharaoh, well, he thought he was in charge, didn't he? He thought he was God. That was their mindset of the Pharaoh, their God. We got nations like that today. The emperors, leaders think they're God. Folks, only God is God. Only God is God. Man, everything else a puppet, more or less. Amen? Yeah. When Pharaoh refused to let the Jews leave Egypt, God destroyed their entire army in the Red Sea. Remember that? The whole army got drowned, horses and all. And God got his people out of Egypt. He said, let them go. You won't let them go, I'll get them out. Hey, folks, God's going to have his way in the end. You better agree with him up front. These people going around today, I don't need God. You wait and see how much you're going to need God before it's over with. You're going to need God before it's over with. You're going to wish to God you'd have been in some Bible church somewhere. Oh, yes. Yeah. God is not only the Father of Israel, he's the Father of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what, now this was a lot of mystery too. Because Christ was in God, in the bosom of God throughout eternity, but one day he became a man. And Jesus Christ now will always be a man. He used to didn't be a man. But now he's going to be a man forever, isn't that something? Barring the scars that came because of our sin when he took our place and paid our sin debt. Blessed be the God and the Father. Listen to that. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. God is the Father of Jesus, even though God is and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. It's a great mystery in the Trinity, folks. And Bible scholars cannot figure it out. They can't figure out the Trinity. No, they can't. Luke 1:35 says, "And the angel said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The Holy Spirit caused Mary to conceive, and she brought forth the Son of God, who was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, who would be a man without sin. He wouldn't have a sin nature like us. Therefore, he'd live a life that was sinless and qualify to be the Savior of the world to die on a cross that would be able to redeem sinful humanity. God planned our salvation. He planned a sure salvation that would accomplish what he proposed. It would not fail. Praise God for such a God with such wisdom and knowledge. He knew how to provide us a Savior, folks. And that Savior was for all mankind. It's for all mankind. I don't believe in these preachers that's preaching that some people can't get saved. The only reason people can't get saved is because they won't get saved. That's the reason they can't get saved. They won't listen to the gospel. They won't believe the gospel. Jesus said, "Whosoever will may come." I believe that. I believe that with all my heart. "He who once resided in the bosom of the Father came to be born among men." Can y'all imagine it? No, we can't imagine that. That God would be willing to allow his Son to go through what he went through for us. But he did. That's the love of God and the grace of God. What a Savior who is very God, who died to save us from our sin. Very God himself. That would love us this much. What an amazing truth concerning Jesus, who is the third member of the Trinity. Co-equal, co-eternal with God is the Son. What a mystery is the Godhead and the decision for the Son to be made a sacrifice for the sin of men. And this point alone is worthy of an hour or more of talking about Jesus Christ being a sacrifice for our sin, church. We just can't thank God enough, praise God enough, love him enough. God is the Father of all believers. He's your Father today if you're a believer. We have earthly fathers we love, respect. Excuse me. But God is our Heavenly Father. "But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We're now sons and daughters of God. What a promotion. Now, we're still sinners. That's true. We're still prone to sin because we have this sin nature right on in this fleshly body that we dwell in. But our soul has already been made perfect. Your soul won't never be made any more perfect. You've been redeemed. The Bible says we're complete in him. Amen? Can you give him a big amen? Amen. Amen. We're already complete. To push the point, according to the word of God, we're already seated at the right hand of God in Christ right now. We're already in heaven. We just hadn't wake up to looked around and find out about it. Amen. But we're already there in Christ as far as truth is concerned. Yes. He's the Father of all believers. Because of the sacrifice of the Son, God is now the Heavenly Father by faith in Jesus. That's how we become sons and daughters of God. It's by faith experience. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize we are sinners. We ask the Lord to forgive us and be our Savior. And we commit ourselves to Him. Like when a person is married, you commit yourself to your mate. You commit yourself to the Lord when you accept Christ as your Savior. And something takes place. A miracle takes place. You're born again. It's a one-time event that takes place in your life. It won't ever happen again. That's why you can't get lost and get resaved. Such ignorance today being preached to people. When you get saved, you're saved. That's what the word means, folks. Jesus said, I give you eternal life. That means forever. Hey, it means what it says. It says what it means. Yes, we are the children of God. No governor, no dictator has a higher position than we believers in this world today. No matter who they are, no matter what they own, nobody has a higher position than we do. We're the sons and daughters of God in this world, and our prayers can move Almighty God to win wars and defeat enemies. God has given us this power through prayer. If we'll unite ourselves together and be committed to Him. And that's what's the problem in the church today at large. The church is weak today because we've drifted away from the Lord in too many places, in too many lives. We have royal blood and we are the wealthiest of all earth's citizens today. I just can't help but kind of cringe when I hear about all these people talking about, especially over in Britain, the princesses, those of the royal family. They don't know what royalty is, folks. God's children are the royal people. We've also been given eternal life to live forever with our great God. Think about living forever. Now, every one of us in this congregation today, you think about dying sometime. Every one of you. You're going to die. You know it. I mean, the Bible tells us we are. And we've seen it. We know it. In fact, a passage Johnny chose to read from Ecclesiastes said, one generation cometh, another passes. Oh, wait, it's right there, folks. Yeah, and Solomon is long gone, isn't he, folks? 3,000 years gone. Yeah, but you know what? We're going to be living forever. When this old body goes to sleep, and that's what the Bible says happened to believers, we go to sleep in the Lord. But we continue right on living. We don't even miss an eye blink. We go live forever in another place, and one day we'll have new bodies to live on a new earth forever. And we won't ever think about dying again. Won't that be something? Won't ever think about dying again. Won't ever think about an enemy again. Because we won't have it in any enemies. We're going to live forever. And we're going to be living in paradise. Paradise. I tell you what, I think what's going to be the greatest thing is to be with the Lord, though. I think that's what's going to make it. Let's talk about God is the Father of all mankind. not only the believer, he's the father of everybody in the sense that he made everybody. The Bible says in Acts 17:29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, Paul said, have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? Malachi 2:10. God made everybody. He's the Father of everybody in the sense that he's creator. Think about the billions of people. We don't even have an idea how many billions of people has been in this world. And even in our own country, I saw the other day where 2,000 babies are aborted every day. I believe it's every day in America. 2,000. That's a pile, ain't it? Hey, folks, them's people too. I don't know how God's going to deal with the little babies like that. Will they be babies in heaven or will they be grown? I don't know. We'll find out one day. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:9, for the more we have had fathers of one flesh which corrected us and we gave them reverence, shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? And in James 1:17, every good gift and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:17 states, it was God that made man in the beginning. He made Adam from the dust of the ground. I tell you what, folks, you just think about that. You think about a pile of dust formed into the body of a person. And think about what goes on to make up a body. Your nerves, the blood vessels, and all the organs and intestines. And I mean, the cells. And God took a pile of dust and made Adam. And then the Bible, I've read where a scholar said it seemed like God just leaned down and breathed into Adam's nostrils. And man become a living soul. He became alive. And then after a while, God put him to sleep and took a rib from his side and made a woman. Now, us men were made out of the dirt, amen? But a woman was made refined. A woman's gentler. At least she's supposed to be. More delicate. Feminine. They're refined. But God made her from his side. There's a message in that we don't have time to preach. But that's how close marriage is supposed to be. A man and his wife are one. God made a man. Man didn't evolve from a lower form of life. That is Satan's big lie to deceive man out of his soul. People thinking today, and they're being taught today, that there's no God, there's no afterlife. Man just evolved, and you better live it up and get all you can out of this life because that's all there is. That's Satan's lie to damn people's souls, folks. That's all that is. And people are eating it up. Now they got this thing today that you can be what sex you want to be. And that's being taught in the school systems in places. I saw the other day where the government has 5,000 teachers teaching that someplace. 5,000 teachers teaching that to the children. I tell you what, hell's going to be full of. Deceive people, folks. Yes. God is the Father of all mankind. No matter what skin color, what language, God created us all. There's not but one race. I've always said that. I didn't understand it when I grew up, and there was three. Basically, we had three races in Robeson County when I first came along. Now we got a whole crowd of them if you wanted to go that way. But there's not but one race. It's the human race. We all came from Adam. I saw someone on TV the other day. I was reading a documentary, and they're tracing back, and they're showing how the Germans and the French and the Russians and all the different peoples, they're tracing it back to where we all come from one. We all come from one, Adam and Eve. There's only one race. It's the human race. We came from Adam and Eve. They're our first parents. There's from all of the human family, God's calling out a people, though, to be his people. From all the people, God's calling a people to be his people. He's inviting everybody. But only those that respond are going to be his people. Amen. He's got a big plan going. That's what the church is commissioned to do. Preach the gospel. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature or every person, the Bible says in Matthew 28:18-19. Those who accept him will be his people forever. He's given everybody that equal opportunity. But our responsibility today as Christians is we got to get out the gospel. We can't just keep it to ourselves. That's a big sin if we don't share it. We got to get it out. We got to support missionaries. We got to go into our communities. That's the reason I like our radio ministry so much and our being able to use the TV station down the street there to share. Brother Searle was telling me today about somebody he heard talking about. They were listening to Bible Time. And we hear that all the time. Folks, we got to keep sharing the good news. And the Bible promises his word won't return void. If people don't listen, that's their problem. It was out there. It was available. We got to make it available. That's what church is about, getting out the gospel. And God is also the Father of love. Oh, I love this. God is the God, Father of love. Love comes from God. You ever seen your dog look at you? Your dog or your cat? And they could look at you and you can see they love you so much. God put love in those little old animals. I like to see a dog. He's just grinning at you. And wagging his tail and his tongue out. He's just laughing. He's so happy to see you. He loves you so much. And that kitty cat, they love you so much. God put love in those little animals. Love comes from God. God is a God of love. You know, that's going to be the wonder of heaven. There's not going to be any hostility. You're not going to see anybody in heaven looking at you with cold eyes. You see people look at you today with cold eyes, don't you? I won't like you. They don't even know you. They don't even know you. But I won't like you. In heaven, it's not going to be like that. It's going to be an atmosphere of love like you can't explain. Love. the atmosphere will just be filled with love emanating from God and the Savior, folks. And we too will be full of love. Amen. Great day in the morning, folks. What a time it's going to be when we get there. What a time it's going to be. Yeah, God is the Father of love. 1 John 4:8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. What a great God, folks, that loves us. 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might bring, that we might live through him. God sent his Son, we might live through him because of love. Love comes from God, and the love of God is so precious to his people today. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Is there a greater verse in the Bible than that? That God loved everybody so much? Everybody? It was God. It was the God of love that made Adam and then made a wife for him from his side. It was the God of love who made the family unit as father, mother, and children relationship. And that's what's gone wrong in our society today. The family relationship is broken. It's a disaster. Children without parents. Sin has devastated the modern homes today. It's blatant sin. Drugs, alcohol, sex, pleasure, taking its toll on the home today. And that's why there's so much shooting. Yesterday at a ball game, I believe maybe it was last night or sometime, outside the ballpark, Major League ball game, by the way, the Padres and somebody who they were playing. I saw it on the news this morning. There was a shooting outside the park and three got injured. Had to stop the ball game. And in fact, they even put the game off to finish it today. Shootings everywhere, folks, now. And they think this was a drive-by shooting. Two cars shooting at one another going down the highway. We're having this all the time now, folks. Sin, drugs, alcohol, sex, people not being taught about God, people not going to church, people having no values, people living like wild animals now. That's what it is. Oh, out of control. On their way to hell, have no idea. Have no idea. They're just one breath out of hell, every one of them. One breath. If you miss the next breath, they'll be in hell. They don't know that. They don't even believe that. But they would. God's nature is love, and he loves all people. Even them people that's out of control today, he still loves them. He still loves them. All God says in his word is for our benefit and our good. All this in this book here, everything that's in it. When he says, don't you do this or don't you do that, God's saying that to protect you. To keep you from getting hurt. That's why he says, don't do this, don't do that. And some say, why can't I do this? It's my life. Because God's trying to keep you from being hurt. Keep you from crying. Keep you from losing your soul. That's what God's trying to do. But won't people look dumb when they stand before God and they find out it was their choice not to listen? They're going to look kind of foolish then, won't they? And it's going to be too late then. God's restrictions are to protect us because He loves us. When God told Adam not to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it was to protect them. Adam was warned, but he failed to listen, and sin came, and sorrow and death. There wasn't nothing wrong with looking at fruit. That's what people say today. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with a beer? What's wrong with wine, liquor? What's wrong with taking a drug? I can handle it. Go out to Boot Hill and see how many handled it. Adam was warned, but he failed to listen, and sin came in sorrow, and old Adam died. Because God knows everything and He loves us, He knows what's best for us, and that's why He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him, but all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The old flesh wants its way. You got to say no and yes to Jesus. Do you want some regret? Do you want some trouble? Do you want to be miserable and cry some bitter tears? Would you like that? Then live as you please, and sin will wreck your life and destroy you. God wants you to have the best life, and He wants to bless you in this life. That don't mean God's going to give you every wish and thing you desire. God give you what you need. Because you're going to leave everything you got anyway. God wants you to have the best life, and it's found only in obeying and serving Him. What is God the Father to you today? He should be your comfort. Isaiah 41 says, comfort ye my people, saith your God. He should be your strength. God should be your strength. Psalm 28:8, the Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of His anointed. God should be your hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise Him who is the health of my countenance and my God, the psalmist said. God should be your guide in holy living. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If God is not these things to you, then you're not enjoying the God that saved you for His joy, His purpose, His glory. Jesus said this in conclusion today, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it, Matthew 7:13-14. The only way to enter is to trust Jesus. He paid for our sins. He's our Father, and He loves us. He wants the best for us. We should learn to listen to Him. Listen to His Word. Live by His Word. Get involved in serving Him. Don't be nominal or indifferent. Get involved. Help others to know of His loving grace and salvation. May the Lord speak to hearts today. Challenge hearts today. He's our Father. He's our Heavenly Father. He'll always be now that He's saved us. Now He's going to take us to be with Him one of these mornings. Could be any morning. Every day of my life, I expect the rapture the way things are.